الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأزكى التسليم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت يا حي يا قيوم تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما وعملا، يقربنا اليك برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. يا فتاح يا عليم افتح لنا فتحا قريبا، يا فتاح يا عليم افتح لنا فتحا قريبا، يا فتاح يا عليم افتح لنا فتحا قريبا. نوينا التعلم والتعليم والنفع والانتفاع والمذاكره والتذكير والافاده والاستفاده والحث على التمسك بكتاب الله وسنه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ودعاء الهدى ودلال الخير بتقواه جل وعظاته وقربه ثوابه سبحانه. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الحمد لله that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered us again to hear from the words of Sayyidina Imam Qutb al-Arshad wa Ghawth al-Ibad wal-Bilad, Sayyidina Imam Abdullah ibn Alawi al-Haddad qaddasallahu sirrahu ta'ala, the support and the succor of the people of people and the pillar of guidance and calling to Allah, Sayyidina Imam al-Haddad. So inshallah we'll continue where we left off last week. Bismillah.
We continue from the middle of the chapter?
No.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. From the book Knowledge and Wisdom, Imam al-Haddad, may Allah have mercy on him and benefit us through him, says, we're in the middle of chapter 24, Gentleness. It should never be overlooked, for it always yields the required results, even if not immediately. On some rare occasions, however, gentleness may be ineffective, especially when dealing with certain mean and ignoble natures. To treat such people with gentleness would be harmful to them. Rather, they should be treated in an apparently harsh and severe manner, but with the intention of reforming them and correcting their behavior. A certain knower of God once said, some people are only shells devoid of reason. If you do not overpower them, they will overpower you. Not far removed from this is Al-Mutanabbi's saying, you win the noble when you honor him, but with the vile it only breeds insolence. For graciousness, where the soul should be, is no less pernicious than the reverse. But these are rare instances involving deviant people of weak intelligence who have little good in them, being ignorant and foolish, with vicious natures and beastly souls. They are the only ones to be treated harshly, but with the aim of reforming them and as a protection against their viciousness. This explains why, on certain occasions and with certain people, great men of God can be rigorous. Thus, gentleness is the principle and the rule to cleave to, accept when it is feared that a worker of corruption may thereby step up his corruption and transgressions, and it is felt that he can be stopped only by a certain amount of severity and harshness. The Messenger of God, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, enjoined gentleness and behaved gently in most situations, as will be well known to anyone familiar with his history, hadith, and pattern in teaching the ignorant and dealing with the near and far. One example of this is the well-known hadith of the Bedouin who passed water in the mosque. Another example is that of the Bedouin who, discontented with a donation from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, spoke impertinentially. When the Muslim made for him, they were stopped by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who instead increased his donation and went on increasing it until he was satisfied and spoke graciously. The third example is that of the young man who said to the Messenger of God, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of God, grant me permission to commit adultery. He replied, May peace, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would you approve of it for your daughter? He answered, no. So he said, similarly, other people do not approve of it for their daughters. He then passed his hand over the young man's chest and prayed for him. And from then on, nothing was more abhorrent to him than adultery. There are many other such stories that have been narrated about him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as well as about the leaders after him, the scholars, and the virtuous among our rightly guided predecessors and their successors. So be gentle in all matters. May God have mercy on you. It is a blessing and its consequences are good, but none are granted it save those who are patient, and none is granted it save one who is immensely fortunate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, Imam Haddad in this chapter, we have read now where we left off from last week, about halfway through the chapter. In summary, this chapter is talking about rifq, gentleness. And Sayyidina Imam al-Haddad is establishing for us, clarifying for us, the nature of gentleness, rifq, and its essential nature in this religion. It's a principle of this religion. It is the primary nature, it is the default state of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his affairs. The overwhelming state of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his character and in his dealings with people was one of rifq, gentleness. And so, yani, by way of review from last week, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have made rifq, gentleness, essential to this religion, fundamental to this religion, a principle in this religion. Sayyidina Imam al-Haddad recited in this chapter the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضْلًا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. It is by the mercy of Allah that you deal gently with them. Were you severe or harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from about you. Right? So this verse describing that this is a great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which allowed him to attract the people. If we reflect upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mission, being sent to the Arabian Peninsula in the era in which it was experiencing, yani in the time of Jahiliyyah, and how and what was there from tribalism and from many different difficult traits and characteristics that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to face. And we're going to see some examples of them. And how he sallallahu alaihi wasallam transformed the entire Arabian Peninsula within his lifetime, within his prophethood, within 23 years. That just to reflect on that fact in itself is from the greatest of the miracles of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the greatest of the proofs of his truth. And so from the getting core and essential values that allow that transformation to take place is this rifq. And we're going to see examples of that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this mercy Allah put in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed him to be gentle and kind with people, which attracted them to him and allowed them to then carry this religion. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a Sahih Hadith, in Sahih Muslim, says, and if you could imagine, there's no greater way to establish rifq, gentleness, as a principle in this religion than what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says here. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha reports that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna Allah rafiq, yuhibbu rifq, wa yu'ti ala rifq ma la yu'ti ala unf, wa ma la yu'ti ala ma siwa." Verily, Allah is gentle, and He loves gentleness. And there's no greater way that you could establish that rifq, gentleness, is a fundamental aspect of this religion than to inform us that our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is characterized by this attribute himself in a way that befits his majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests gentleness in a way that befits him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no resemblance between the creator and the created. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests gentleness to his creation in different ways. In how he has informed that when how he has made this religion easy for us, that he has not placed on us a burden that we cannot bear. How he has made given us a reward tenfold for any good deed that we do. How he has described that we do not draw near to him by a handspan, except that he draws near to us by an arm's length. Right? In all of these different ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has manifested gentleness with us, with his creation. How he, even for the transgressors, for the disbelievers, for those who disbelieve and associate partners with him and commit corruption and wickedness, how he gives them a respite on this earth. He gives them time, right, to turn back. All of these are manifestations in his gentleness. And so Allah Ta'ala is gentle. And he loves that because this gentleness is an attribute of his, he loves for his creation to be gentle to the people. And Allah, and you see here, Allah will give a reward. Allah will give a reward for gentleness. This virtue of gentleness, Allah will give the believer a reward for it. That which he would not give for any other virtue. That the believer can attain from gentleness. يُعْتِي عَلَى الْرِفْقِ مَا لَا يُعْتِي عَلَى الْعُنْفِ. Allah gives for gentleness that which he will not give for harshness, for severity. And then again, Allah would give for gentleness that which he would not give for anything other than gentleness. And the scholars explain that this means that there's no virtue that earns reward with Allah Ta'ala like gentleness. Right? And then the Messenger of Allah in another narration, also in Sahih Muslim, in a similar meaning, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, may yuhram al-rifq, yuhram al-khayr. Whoever is deprived of gentleness would be deprived of goodness. And in a narration, of all goodness, al-khayri kulli. Allah Ta'ala would deprive, that if a person is not gentle, they would be no good in them. And in another narration, it's also in Sahih Muslim, إِنَّ الرِّفْقْ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ لَا زَانَ. Gentleness is not in anything except it beautifies it. And وَلَا يُنْزَعْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. And it's not removed from something except that it mars it, it disfigures it, it makes it ugly. That gentleness beautifies things, and removing gentleness, having severity, having harshness, makes things ugly, makes things corrupted. Right, so these are all examples of how the Messenger of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have made this gentleness informed us of how central it is to this religion, how fundamental it is to this religion. Right now, Sayyidina Imam al-Haddad clarifies in what we heard today in this chapter that okay, gentleness is the default state. It is a fundamental principle in this religion. But that does not mean necessarily that it's always the appropriate action. That there are certain exceptional circumstances where the Messenger of Allah somehow had to use harshness. And they're very, and Sayyidina Imam al-Haddad informs us that they're very rare because his overwhelming nature was gentleness. So you struggle to find examples where the Messenger of Allah used harshness, used severity, right? But Sayyidina Imam al-Haddad informs where it's placed. Harshness and severity is placed against the one in whom is wickedness, the one in whom is evil, and the one in whom being gentle for them will not increase them in turning to Allah in goodness, right? So from amongst the examples of this, of the Messenger of Allah SWT responding with some harshness, right, is what's narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, that Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu narrates, that we were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was dividing some wealth that the believers had attained after the Battle of Khaybar. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dividing this wealth amongst the Sahaba. And a man came into the gathering, he's known as Dhul Khawaisara, right? And he said to Ya Rasulullah, i'dil. Wal'a'udhu billah. He said, O Messenger of Allah, be just. Imagine a person coming to a prophet of God, one who receives revelation directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And commanding them to be just, right? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responds to this man, وَيْلَكْ فَمَنْ يَعْدِلْ إِذَا لَمْ أَعْدِلْ. May you be destroyed. Who would have justice if I am not just? قَدْ خِبْتَ وَخَسِرْتَ إِلَّا لَمْ أَكُنْ أَعْدِلْ. You are destroyed if I do not, you would be in loss if I am not just. Allah has sent me to teach mankind what is justice, right? And so
This is one example where the Messenger of Allah SWT responded with harshness to this man, right? And it manifests what Sayyidina Imam Haddad has described in this chapter, that the place, these exceptional cases of where harshness might be used is where somebody is truly evil and wicked, and they would not respond to gentleness rightly. And how do we know that? In this hadith, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says to after the man leaves, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, "Da'ni ya Rasulullah adrib unqa hadha al-munafiq." Ya Rasulullah, allow me to strike the neck of this hypocrite. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not permit him to do that. The Messenger of Allah sallam did not permit him to do that, but he did not rebuke or reprimand Sayyidina Umar for what he said. He did not correct Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu for what he said about this man. All that he did was that he did not allow Sayyidina Umar to take any punishment against this man. But you see how this man was wicked, and the Messenger of Allah was informed about this man. This man who came wal'iyadhu billah and manifested such harshness, such wickedness, such disrespect of the Messenger of Allah SWT, the Messenger of Allah SWT informed that this man will have companions who, when they recite Quran, you the Sahaba will be ashamed from the recitation that they make. They will recite it so beautifully, you, my companions, would be ashamed of them. But yet they would exit this religion as fast as the arrow exits the bow. So, the man was wicked. And for that reason, the Messenger of Allah SWT responded to him with harshness. So you will struggle to find examples of where the Messenger of Allah responded with harshness like this. But it's like Imam al-Haddad says, only with someone who has real wickedness and real corruption and vileness in them would harshness be needed to deal with them, right? So this is one example of it, right? But then getting back then, the overwhelming and the default state of the Messenger of Allah was gentleness. And Sayyidina Imam al-Haddad, he mentions a few examples, and he says the examples are very many. But reflect upon this. We know in Shama'il of Imam al-Tirmidhi, in the hadith of Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, when he asked his father Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to describe the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how was he with his companions? Think about this what we know of this hadith, that the very first thing the Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, of course one of the closest people to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the ones who was with him the longest and knew him the best in his different states, what is the very first description that he gives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ دَائِمًا بِشَرْ سَهْلُ الْخُلُقْ لَيِّنَ الْجَانِبِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always smiling. He was easygoing and soft nature. سَهْلُ الْخُلُقْ لَيِّنَ الْجَانِبِ. This is the very first thing that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu would describe about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it shows you how fundamental this aspect of rifq, of gentleness, of being easygoing, of being soft nature, all of these traits, how that was from the very essential nature of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his very default state. That Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, if he was asked, the very first thing he would describe for how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated those around him was this. Right, لَيْسَ بِفَضْلٍ وَلَا غَلِيبٍ. He was not harsh nor hard-hearted. Right, وَلَا سَخَّابٍ. He was not one who would yell and raise his voice while speaking with people. وَلَا فَحَّاشٍ. Nor was he someone who used rude or indecent language. Nor عَيَّابٍ. Nor would he be one to criticize people and seek out their faults. These are the very first descriptions that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu gives and of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they're all manifestations of that rifq. Tayyib. And so then some examples of this. Sayyidina Imam al-Haddad mentions some examples. Think about, reflect upon some of these. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, the special servant of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reports in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. خَدَمْتُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَشْرَ سِنِينَ فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍّ وَلَا لِمَا صَنَعْتَ وَلَا أَلَّا صَنَعْتَ. He says, Sayyidina Anas bin Malik, a young boy serving the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, day in and day out as his special servant, right? I served him for 10 years and he never said to me, uff. Now, an uff in the Arabic language is an expression of displeasure. It's an expression of annoyance. in the slightest way. If someone would be annoyed, they might exhale harshly, say, oof, right? It's the least form of displeasure. It's the least form of displeasure. And this is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about to one's parents, لا تقول لهما أفن. Do not say to them even the least form of displeasure. Now Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says, I served him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for 10 years, and he never said to me, uff, let alone anything greater than that. Which in and of itself is a miracle. In and of itself is a miracle to have someone working, serving someone for years and years on end. And he's a young boy, right? He's a young boy doing the things that young boys might do, right? And so never even, let alone rebuking, reprimanding, criticizing, let alone hitting or any other types of harshness. He never even said to me, oof. He never even said to me for something that I did, why did you do that? Nor for something that I didn't do, why didn't you do that? Right? And we're gonna speak about this, how this yani is something that modern scholars, when they look at human behavior, they have yani analyzed human behavior and how to yani attract people, how to get what you want from people, right? In their self-help books. Right? And they speak about this concept, right? In, manifested by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Sayyidina Anas, which we'll mention at the end. So another manifestation of this is the hadith of Sayyidina Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam, also in Sahih Muslim. Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam radiallahu anhu is the man who he was praying in the messenger behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid, and he was a new Muslim, right? And someone had sneezed, and he's the one who said Yarhamakullah. And the Sahaba in the prayer, and the companions, he says, Sayyidina Muawiyah narrates the story. He says, when I said Yarhamakullah in the prayer, they all began gazing at me sternly. And then I said, what is the matter with you people? And they began to strike their thighs, right, to quiet me down. And so then I became quiet. And then after the prayer, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to Sayyidina Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam. Right? And so look at what happens to Sayyidina Muawiyah. فَبِأَبِي هُوَ وَأُمِّي مَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدْهُ أَحْسَنَ تَعْلِيمًا مِنْهُ. May my mother and father be sacrificed for him. I never saw a teacher, neither before him nor after him, better than him. فَوَاللَّهِ I swear by Allah, مَا كَهَرَنِي. I swear by Allah, he didn't scold me. وَلَا ضَرَبَنِي. He didn't strike me. وَلَا شَطَمَنِي. He did not revile me. قَالْ إِنَّ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ لَا يَسْمَحُ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ مِّن كَلَامِ النَّاسِ. He said, verily this is the prayer. Nothing is valid in it except, yani, nothing from normal speech is accepted in it. إِنَّمَا هُوَ التَّسْبِيحُ وَالتَّكْبِيرُ وَقِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ. It's only for praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and exalting Him and reciting the Qur'an. So you see how, yeah, and so now, what's interesting about this hadith of Sayyidina Muawiyah, again, you see how yani, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam manifests a gentleness above and beyond his companions. Above and beyond his companions. That his companions were yani, upset with this man. Why are you yani, doing this in the prayer? Don't you know? And so they looked at him sternly, that they did these things which yani, made him feel uncomfortable. And the Messenger of Allah didn't do any of those things. He didn't do anything to make him feel uncomfortable. His gentleness surpassed that of his companions. And what did this do in the narration in Sahih Muslim? After this, the hadith continues. Sayyidina Muawiyah, who says to the Messenger of Allah that he is hadith ahdin bil Islam, that he's new into Islam, that he's coming newly from Jahiliyyah. And he begins to ask him questions about the religions. Questions about practices of Jahiliyyah, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answers him. Do you see how there's a connection here between the gentleness displayed and how the calling to Allah and opening up a person's heart to receive this religion? How the gentleness that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam manifested prepared the heart of Sayyidina Muawiyah to now be ready to ask this person. This person is someone who is overwhelmingly gentle. So whatever I have, whatever from my jahiliyyah that I've been doing, I can ask it. I can get an answer from it. So this is the connection between how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's gentleness opened up the hearts of people and was a means for the da'wah of this religion, right? And so then, the other great example of this, with which Sayyidina Imam Al-Haddad mentioned this example. Imam Al-Bazzar narrates in his Musnad this hadith. Abu Hurairah narrates it from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A Bedouin came to him and was asking the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for some assistance and financial assistance. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered his companions to to give him some sadaqah. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Have I done good to you?" And the Bedouin said, "No, you have not done good." And some of the believers there, some of the Muslims there with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became very upset. First of all, this person came to ask, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded and gave him. And then he would criticize him in this way. He would respond to the generosity of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this way. And so they began to want to get up and to punish him. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated them to stop, to sit down. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the gathering, takes that Bedouin, takes him back to his home. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes him back to his home, and then says to him that you came and you asked us, and then you said what you said. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam increases him. He gives him some more sadaqah beyond what was given the first time. And then he says, "Have I done good to you?" And the Messenger, and then this Bedouin says, "Yes, for jazakallahu khayr," that may Allah reward you, right? So his heart got opened up. His heart got opened up when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him in private, took him back to his home and increased him, right? And then, but it doesn't stop there. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that you said what you said in front of my companions, and in their hearts is something against you, right? Something about you. They have in their hearts something about you, the way that you responded to me, right? So then when we go and we are in their company again, I want you to say what you just said to me, right? So that what is in their hearts may be removed, right? And so the Bedouin goes back and then says, "Jazakallahu khayr," in front of the companions. And so then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explains what happened here. He explains and he says that the parable of me and this Bedouin is like a man who had a camel that got lost in the desert, okay? And the people started chasing after the camel. All types of people, they were trying to catch this man's camel for him. The more they chased after that camel, the more it ran away, the faster it ran. Until the owner of the camel told the people, "Leave it alone, I know better how to deal with it." And the owner of the camel came with some grasses or some things that the camel likes. He put it in his hand and he brought it towards the camel. And the camel came near with this offering. And then the man was able to get the camel, right? And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives this parable for this man. And how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew him in with this gentleness, which the people weren't at the level to present. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam manifested to them the essentialness of this gentleness. And he says, وَإِنِّي لَوْ أَتَعْتُكُمْ حَيْثُ قَالْ مَا قَالْ لَدَخَلَ النَّارِ. If I had obeyed you and what you were ready to do in punishing him, in rebuking him, what you were ready to do, then he would have entered the hellfire, وَلَعَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ. His heart would not have opened up, right? And so this is one of the manifestations of this gentleness that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave and manifested for his companions. And the stories of this are so many. How the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gentleness would be beyond the companions would be ready to take retribution for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would be ready to punish those who did the slightest disrespect to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the affair always turned on one thing: was what was done against the Messenger of Allah ﷺ personally, or was it against the religion of Islam? If it was the right of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he would be the first to relieve it and relinquish it and bring that gentleness that would be necessary to pull that person in. But if it was something for the religion, yani the rulings of the sacred law, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands, that's where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fulfill his role as the caller. So these are the example, these are some of the examples from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's gentleness. And then you have in the people of Allah, yani the prophetic inheritors, countless examples of this. Just to give one of them that Sayyidina Imam al-Ghazali mentions in the Ihya, one of the great people of Allah, Maymun ibn Mahran, he had a visitor come to him, and as his servant girl is going to bring the food, to bring the dinner, carrying the tray of food to serve this visitor of Sayyidina Maymun, right? She's rushing to hurry and serve this big tray of food for Sayyidina Maymun and this guest, and she trips, and the entire tray of dinner crashes onto the head of Sayyidina Maymun ibn Mahran, who's one of the great people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Sayyidina Maymun says that you have destroyed me. He says to the servant girl, you have destroyed me, look what you've done. And look what the servant girl says, Ya mu'allim al-khayr wa mu'addib al-nas, O teacher of goodness to people. Oh, you who trains people. Oh, you who yani teaches people. Oh, you who manifests the best manners and etiquettes for people to learn from. Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, right? The servant girl says, and Sayyidina Maymun says, and what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْبِ. Right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي الصَّرَّاءِ وَالْضَرَّاءِ وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْبِ, those who spend in ease and adversity, and those who control their wrath. That Allah's Jannah is for who? Those who spend from Allah from their wealth in times of ease and times of adversity, and those who control their anger. They control their wrath, their fury, at the moments when, not just simple anger, yet when someone is, they are red hot, and they're ready to explode with anger. At that moment is the greatest trial. The ones who can control it at that moment, those are the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises is Jannah. So she says, yani, turn back to Allah saying, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْبِ, that those who control their anger. And he says, Sayyidina Maymun says, قَدْ كَظَمْتُ غَيْظِي, I have relinquished my anger. I have surrendered my anger. And then she says, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just stop there. That's the slave girl, the servant girl says, Allah says, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Allah says, and those who are forgiving towards mankind. So Sayyidina Maymun says, قَدْ عَفَوْتُ عَنْكَ, I've forgiven you as well. And then she says, but Allah doesn't stop there. Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And so, yet Allah loves those who do good. And so Sayyidina Maymun says, I have set you free then. So you see, yani, how the greatest trial is not yani to be gentle, to be yani, the greatest manifestation of this gentleness is not towards people who are kind. It's not in times of ease or times when things are going well. But when, yani, in those instances of the greatest wrath and fury, yani, that's where the true test and the true trial of this gentleness comes forth. And the whole affair revolves around, in this example, it wasn't intentional. It wasn't due to any wickedness or evilness of this woman, right? And so Sayyidina Maymun forgave it, right? And similarly, you can see in the examples from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he manifested this gentleness, it was in response to someone who did not intend evil, did not intend wickedness or wrong, yani, but it was for either through ignorance, right, for the Bedouins who didn't know any better, who didn't have any refined character, right? And this is because of that, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with this default gentleness, right? And so this is the way of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's the way of his prophetic inheritors. One of the mashayikh, one of the prophetic inheritors, one of the scholars of the religion, after studying a long period of time with one of his sheikhs, yani 5 years, 10 years, taking from him all types of knowledge from the Quran and the Sunnah and the spiritual wisdoms. After taking all of this from him, it came time for this student now to depart from his sheikh. and to leave him. And from the etiquettes and manners of Islam is to give a wasiyah. The Messenger of Allah gave many wasiyah, many counsels, final counsels. So the shuyukh, the mashayikh, and the scholars of the religion, they would give final counsels, parting counsels to their students, right? And so what did the shaykh, after all of these years of teaching this student, what was his parting counsel to this student? The very last thing, if you could say a summary of everything that he had taken from him, he said to him, لا تكسر خاطر أحد. That was his parting counsel. Don't hurt anyone's feelings. Never hurt anyone's feelings. Imagine, yani, of all of the Quran, of all of the Sunnah, of everything that this religion has brought, right? And it has something to say about every aspect of the human life, of the human condition, right? But the Shaykh summarized it for his student with one counsel, right? Which is, yani, the most comprehensive, yani, way to summarize all of this. Never cause anyone hurt in their heart, right? Beyond ridicule, beyond harsh treatment, beyond foul language, beyond severity. No, beyond any of that, never even cause anyone to have any hurt feelings. And those who have to deal with people, they know how difficult this is, right? They know how difficult it is to treat people in this way, right? So, but this is from the essential nature of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the last thing we want to end with is just to reflect upon this, that what we have here, we have nowadays in our modern society, all these self-help books, right, that people are writing. And they have many different things that they write in these books. And people today they're absolutely they consider this like they turn towards this in such great numbers. One of these books, it's a book well known to many people. It's one of the best selling of all of them, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, written in the early part of the 20th century. This book is one of the best selling self-help books in existence, over 15 million copies. In this book, this author, he writes a list of principles and techniques in how to deal with people. If we were to look and reflect upon those one by one, you will see them manifested directly from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says in there, don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Right? كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سهل الخلق لين الجانب. Right? لَيْسَ بِعَيَّابِ. He wasn't one who used to criticize. He was easygoing. He didn't used to criticize people. Right? Arouse in the other person an eager want. Right? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to about him that he treated each and every one of his companions in such a way that they felt they were the closest to them. Closest to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much so that the companions would go on thinking that they are the most beloved to the Messenger of Allah. Each one of them would feel that, right? Always smile, he says, always smile, right? Be genuinely interested in people, right? The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, always used to speak to people according to their intellect, according to their yani state, and he would always be asking about the people, right? So, yani, you can see in these principles, some of yani, if you just go through these and you compare them to the Sunnah of our Messenger of Allah, we'll find that there's nothing that they're writing in these books that of goodness, of virtue, of morality, that is beyond anything that we have in our religion. And the reality that we've mentioned before, and it's yani manifests in so many ways, is that there is no wisdom, there is no morality, there is no righteousness that we find in any tradition, except that its origin is in the way of the prophets. Its origin is in the way of the prophets. And so we're not in need of any of these things. All we need is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to reflect upon his life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us beneficial knowledge and righteous action upon this knowledge. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us gentle in all of our affairs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us keys of opening up doors of goodness to people, and locks which close up the doors of harm and hardship to people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward Sayyidina Imam al-Haddad the best of rewards, and to raise up his rank in Jannah and all of the other rightly guided scholars of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to return upon us from his knowledge and wisdom and blessings, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to connect us to our blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this blessed month of his coming into this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to illuminate our hearts with his light and allow us to carry this light to mankind. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve from us and all of the believers all types of tribulations, calamities, hardships, and illnesses. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us long life in the worship of Him and service of this religion. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to die on the kalima of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say al-Fatiha ala hadrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Fatiha.